Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
And welcome back to Wrestling Mindset. Today we're here with the guy you probably don't know, Spencer Lee. Spencer, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man. Appreciate it.
Awesome. Awesome. We'll jump right into it. Actually, one of the questions that I didn't tell you about that I was thinking about, I saw an interview before with, I think it was Terry Brands talking about Don Ernst. Now, Don Ernst was my coach.
Oh, no way.
Years ago. Don was my first mentor back in eighth grade. And when I heard Terry say that you had a relationship with him, you knew him, I said, oh man, get out of here. Don was my coach. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, well, Don would always, he would send me like CDs of matches that he thought that would be relevant to like me. And so that's kind of like, and it's funny because growing up, I always joke that I didn't know anything about college wrestling. I didn't watch my first like collegiate match till I was probably like a freshman in college or in high school. I mean, present college match, like I watched Terry and Tom and Kale and all the, you know, all the greats in like the 80s and 90s and early 2000s, but I only watched freestyle wrestling. So I read books on freestyle wrestling. I mean, it's the only thing I knew. The only thing I cared about was the Olympics. I never cared about college. I didn't know college was such a big deal until I was like a sophomore in high school. And people started, you know, talking about how recruiting is going to start happening in your junior year. So Don Ernst would send me videos, like CDs of like world champions from like the Soviet Union and every country. I mean, he had so many different, like, because that's what he did. He filmed matches that people don't even know are filmed from like these like, you know, 70s and 80s. And Terry has like a bunch of those CDs with him as well. So me and Terry used to always watch the film that he would send, and he would send me packets, and he would have like, he would write stuff down, like what time to look at and what people would do and his interpretation of the wrestling. So I always thought that was pretty cool. So me and Don had a pretty good relationship, and he was a tough son of a gun. I mean, he was fighting a lot of illnesses, towards the end of his life. And, you know, he wasn't supposed to live like 10 years prior to that, and he was still kicking it. So that's a mental thing, my opinion. He wanted to still help people, and I saw him a lot. I didn't talk to him a whole lot because, you know, he didn't really use his phone much, but he would show up in Carver, you know. I always had a long conversation with him. He always had something to give me. He was a very giving person. So
extremely generous. Like I said, he was my first mentor back in eighth grade, and I mean, he took me under his wing. Any of those videos he sent you guarantee I've watched all them dozens of times. But like the Russians, the Japanese, the Mongolians, all these guys, the Iranians, going back into the 70s, there was videos that he had that only him and ABC had rights to.
You're right.
So it's ridiculous. And then like as soon as he retired, he got diagnosed with bone cancer. And from that moment that you saw, like from 2008, he fought it for 10 years, 10 or more years. Yeah. And there was one time he was in my basement, he was coaching me, and he had me do stand-ups. He said, okay, 20 perfect stand-ups, and then you're done. I'm sure every wrestler has done something like this. Now, this was before the movie Miracle, where they said, again, again, again. Well, anyway, I get down from 20s, counting backwards, I get down to 15. That one wasn't right, back to 20. And he did that a few times to me when I down to 10. Anyway, we got down to one, and then he's like, okay, one more time. So the workout began when I got down to one, and this was before the movie Miracle. And when he got cancer, he reminded me, he said, that lesson one more time is not just for wrestling. That's your whole life. One more time. Whenever you think you can't go, you got one more time. So he was a tough son of a gun.
No, that's a name, man. That's a blast in the past for me, you know.
Oh, so. Yes. He was the flow wrestling before the flow wrestling. Anyway, when I saw Terry talk about that, I thought that was great. All right. So now we'll kick it into some of the other questions we had. So dealing with pressure, and one of the things I remember you talking about with Caden Henschel was that when you said that if you didn't tech a guy, people were, you know, people look at it like, oh, what's going on? Spencer's off today. Or, wow, this guy's really good. If you don't tech or major a guy, talk about the mindset with that.
I think it was just hard because, like, as someone who's extremely hard on himself already, you know, when you're not really supposed to read media and stuff, but like when it's always constantly being thrown at you, and like every time I have a media day with like the Iowa media people or, you know, the local media, they would always ask the same questions like, well, what did he do different? You know? And I'm like looking at, I remember like going, well, I teched him in the second period, you know, and they'd be like, well, he definitely figured you out, you know? And I always was just like, to me, it was always like, you know, the other guy wants to win too. And this is the, you know, Division I wrestling at the highest level. I mean, how many wrestlers have you seen now that have been successful in college, just dominating the international scene? How many world champs do we have in like almost every weight class at U17, U20, U23? Like college wrestling, if you're a national champ, like you're probably good enough to win U23 worlds or U20 worlds, you know, easily, you know, and anyone who's won U20 worlds is always a top three guy at the NCAA tournament, really, you know. Very rarely that they're not. So, like, if you're that good, like, these guys are in the NCAA. Like, these guys are really, really good at wrestling. So I used to always get frustrated because, like, my motto is always respect all, fear none. And every single time I wrestle a guy, you know, if I didn't destroy them, you know, quote, unquote, like, people would just, like, they would lose their minds, you know. He was sponsored by Tech, but I was pretty impressed, you know. It's just, like it's humbling a little bit because, like, of how people must have thought about me as a competitor. So if you look at it that way, that could be a positive, you know, but yeah, it definitely is hard when, like, no matter what, like, you almost feel like you have to live up to those expectations, and, you know, and that does put pressure on you, and, you know, that does make it a little harder, and you shouldn't have to think like that, you know, you should let that bother you, but, you know, I'd be lying if I said it didn't affect me even a little bit, even though I did everything I could not to have it affect me, but inadvertently, it definitely did, because maybe I would win, you know, 13-1 or something, I'd freak out after the match, and Tom and Terry would be like, you're fine, like, you did good stuff, you know. Yeah, you might have stopped wrestling at this point in the match, should have kept going, should have kept doing what you were doing, you know, that kind of thing. But again, like you said, you know, it is frustrating, but, you know, I mean, I guess if you're in that position, it's not that bad of a, you know, position to be in. But
right, it's like we have to operate from the assumptions that are the assumptions the premise that, number one, we're all human, and the other thing is, this guy signed up for the sport too. He's trying to win as well. And these are some of the toughest people, not only in the country, but in the entire world. And they're training just to beat you.
Especially when target on your back, for sure.
Exactly. So what might be now? Okay. These other wrestlers, high school wrestlers, these college guys, they're not Spencer Lee, but some of them have what you had to a smaller extent, maybe at the high school level. What are some good things you might recommend them to do mentally and emotionally that they could tell themselves to not have as much weight on their back?
Well, I mean, like, no matter what, you know, every match to you should be the biggest in the world because it's the next one, right? So, like, that I mean, that could help you because you could always see the next opponent as, like, you know, a world final, Olympic finals opponent, you know, because no matter what, then the score won't matter. You know, Tom and Terry are always big advocates of, like, staying away from social media. I know it's a little harder in today's era. Social media might help you get, you know, deals or whatever, the collegiate and even in high school at this point, honestly. So I understand that can make it a little harder, but, you know, like I said, you saw me do the interview with Caden. He's someone he's like our wrestling's only YouTuber, you know, like, and so, like, some people, like, in this era, it's a little different, but, you know, I do also agree with Tom and Terry. You should stay away from it, you know, a little bit. You shouldn't be reading things. You shouldn't be, like, going through comments. Like, that's just stuff that all it's going to do is, you know, weigh on you mentally, and it's just not what you want to do, not where you want to be. You want to be as focused as possible. And, you know, whether that's writing things down, whether that's, you know, whatever you have to do to get ready for that match, you know. And for me, it was always just worrying about that day's practice or the next day's practice. I never like to think about the opponent or what they did or during the week, because, like, you get nervous, you stress yourself out a little bit. Like me, I would get nervous if I thought about what they did or if I watched film on them. You know, I'm not saying watch film is bad, but I never really watched film because I would, on myself or on anyone, because I would get nervous or whatever. So for me, it was always just like, how can I feel better? It was like writing down what I did good that day, you know, what I could have done better, and then maybe applying that to the next day. So that was kind of how I was.
That's great. So that's the approach before the match. Now let's zoom into a match. Okay. So let's say, I don't know, a guy gets a first takedown. It could happen, right? Or a guy gets a reversal. Or it's like, hey, the first period ends, second period ends. You're up by a point, you're up by 2 points, or maybe you're down by a point or two. What would be good things that you tell yourself, you'd recommend other people to tell themselves?
Well, Tom and Terry are pretty big advocates of that, because, like, you know, Terry, in college, he said he'd always imagine himself being down 2-0 in a match, because he gave up the first takedown like most of his matches, like 90% of his matches, because he was so aggressive, like almost overly aggressive, that he would go to. So before the match even started, he'd always say he's down 2-1 because he's going to get out, right? And that's just kind of how he went through it. For me, it was like, it didn't matter. Like, you know, I was someone who didn't really show much emotion on the mat, like my facial expressions or anything. To me, it was just like, as long as your body is moving and your hands and feet are moving and you're wrestling, then scoring is going to happen. It doesn't matter if they score first. Like, you just get up and you just keep scoring. You know, the more you think, I think the less effective that is. I think wrestling is a instinctive sport. And if you're constantly telling yourself to just do it, you know, Tom and Terry always say, don't think, just do it. You know, and that's kind of like what wrestling should be like in a match. You get blasted off your feet. Like, you shouldn't even, like, once you hit the ground, you should already be on your feet. Like, that's how it should feel. Like, you shouldn't be like, oh, wow, I got taken down. And then all of a sudden you get chopped and all of a sudden you're on your face, right? Like, oh, that never happens. I never get first period. You know, you should already be on your feet and turning and just keep wrestling. Because, you know, we have a lot of guys like that on our team that, like, I like to tell them, like, hey, if they take you down, one takedown is not going to be enough to beat you. That's all that matters. Just next thing, you know? So.
Right. So that might be a good, like, reset button to tell yourself that if you get scored on, you just tell yourself, just get right back or just do it. Just something quick. Maybe you tell yourself. Do you?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I never thought, I didn't like thinking if I was cognizant in a wrestling match, I was wrestling bad, like really bad. Like, the match was like at stake, to be honest, you know, and it's only happened to me a handful of times. But, like, what you, if you're like, that means you didn't have a good warm up, or like you weren't like ready to go, you know? Cause, like, to me, it was like the best matches I ever wrestled were when I'd walk off the mat and be like, how do I even score? You know, I don't even know what happened, you know? And Terry'd be like, oh yeah, you did. Like, how do I even take him down? Like, I wouldn't even remember, just cause, like, you're just moving, right? And that means you're ready to go, in my mind. I mean, and everyone could be different. Some people, like DeSanto's not like that. Like, he's always telling himself what he needs to do in his head, and he's constantly thinking, you know? Very different from me, you know. They're just an example, you know. Everyone's different, so find what works for you.
Right. And now, what about if a guy, you know, a guy's clearly clamming up, trying to stall, he's trying to keep it close. That could be frustrating for a lot of guys. So it's the same thing. It's not that you don't want to be telling yourself a lot, but in that moment, might you have to tell yourself something to keep your composure?
Well, I mean, I don't think you need to tell yourself something, because I think there are ways to do it. Because like Tom and Terry are big on like a reset point. Tom and Terry always looked at their thumbs, and that was like the reset point. You know, they don't have to speak, you know, like to them, you could see them. They go like this, they look at it, and I mean, like, this would mean like it's go time, you know? So some people, it could be anything. It could be like whatever it is to you. It could be touching something. It could be like, I don't know, a reset. You could look into like what a reset point is, or a comeback point, or whatever it's called. That could be what brings you back to reality without having, because I still think that, like, if you're thinking like, oh man, I'm not doing very well, like, you're already like, you're kind of out of it, you know, like, you're gonna be thinking and your reactions are slower. It'd be like thinking, oh, I need to dodge, rather than just dodging, you know, like a punch or something, you know.
That's absolutely right. And the words actually activates more of your left brain, which is more like analytical and theoretical. When you're just looking at something, that activates more of the right brain, which is more like emotions, feel, and flow. So that makes sense right off the bat with what you're saying there about that reset point.
Yeah, no, that's what we think about it, you know. So
no, it's great. I talk about also mentally dealing with wrestling people that you looked up to when you were younger. Okay, so like you wrestling Nico Megalutis and Logan Stieber's in his corner, guys that you look to and, you know, modeling yourself after, at least to some extent, maybe, right?
So yeah, that's kind of, it's kind of funny because those are like the only two guys I looked up to growing up that were like in the era, you know. So it's like Nico's from my high school, and then, you know, so I was always trying to be like him. And then Logan was like the guy that I kind of like emulated my top style off of for folk style. And he was like the guy that I was like always wanted to be like in college, right? So it just made me laugh that like they're both like in the corners like against me, kind of, you know, just like makes you feel kind of old, even though obviously I'm not old, but, you know, like you're getting there out of college, you know. So I mean, it was fun. I mean, me and Nico, like, we're cool. Like I was like, I would love to wrestle him again, you know, just because, like, you know, like I said, he's a great opponent and he's someone that I've always looked up to and always wanted to wrestle. So kind of goofy that we wrestle like the Bill Farrell, and not like, to me, always should have been like a World Olympic Trials, like something like that. But we'll probably end up wrestling there too. So
the time is now to take your mindset to the next level with Wrestling Mindset. Make sure you go to our website, WrestlingMindset.com, and sign up for your free trial session today. Don't wait any longer. You want the mental edge right now. When you sign up for the free trial session, you're also going to get a copy of our free ebook, Building the Predator Mindset. This book has helped thousands of people build confidence, relax under pressure, get motivated, and build mental toughness in wrestling, school, and life. Make sure you sign up for your free trial session today.
I thought that was pretty cool. I mean, yeah, definitely mentally, it's definitely a little harder because, like, you have so much respect for them. Like I know Tom was like, you respected him too much in the match, is what I was told. Just because, like, I mean, like, to me, it was like, oh, it's Nico, you know. Like, I remember being like 8 years old watching him like win stuff, you know, and like in high school, 9 years old. And I mean, I think he's only 5 or 6 years old. I think he's 6 years older than me, maybe only 5 years older, but. You know, that's a pretty big significant gap. Like I remember being in junior high and he was in college, you know, making the national finals when I was in eighth grade. So like those are like things that definitely like weigh on your mind a little bit, like, oh, this is the like what guy you look up to, you know. I've never had that problem because I never like looked up to like that many people in the wrestling world, like in that kind of way. Just cause like to me, I always like would say to myself, like, I'm gonna be better than them, I'll surpass them. Like there's no like hero. You know, some people are like, oh, you're my hero. But is my mic okay? I said switch to the, okay, there we go. Can you still hear me? Okay. And so to me, it was just like, there are people I wanted to emulate my wrestling off of, and then all of a sudden now I'm wrestling them. So it was just kind of funny. I mean, I thought that was cool. You know, it was fun, like having my dad and like Nico's dad, like kind of almost like they were like almost next to each other, like when we were wrestling, you know, just cause like, see, we know each other for a long time. So.
You're still muted.
That's awesome. That's a great experience to have, even though it's like, yeah, maybe a little weird, a little different, but yeah, just another great thing.
Yeah, well, that's the beauty of wrestling, man. You know, there might be someone that took a picture with me, and all of a sudden I might be wrestling in 4 years. You know, you never know. I mean, I know there's an example. There's a kid I wrestled from Wyoming last year. He posted a picture of taking a picture with me when I was at the Powerade tournament, like in high school. I was like a freshman or something, and he was like up to my hip. And I had to wrestle him. I think he's a junior world champ. Yeah, so he's tough.
You're gonna be the guy that gets that a lot. A lot of those younger guys who took pictures.
Maybe that'd be cool. No, that'd be cool. But
definitely. All right. So my nephews, they really look up to you. They run out to the Pokemon theme song before wrestling. He has 14 Charizard cards. So is that good? Is that good for him?
Yeah, sure. Well, I mean, the most expensive cards in the world are like. First generation Charizard cards, so those cards can, you know, range from like a couple thousand to even hundreds of thousands of dollars, which is absurd. But
it is. But now running out to those songs, you feel like that's good because that keeps you kind of calm. Like it feels like the energy is going, but it's not like, you know, we're making you crazy.
Well, like the reason why I ran out to Pokemon theme song was because. The only game I played growing up was Pokemon, like, and I would travel like on trips, like to camps and tournaments and whatever. And I had like my little Game Boy and then I had DS and I had a 3DS. Then I had now it's a Switch, you know, I'm 25 now, it's a Switch. So it's like, it was like, for me, it was like the lyrics and then how much time I put in to traveling to get better with wrestling, like all the hours in the car that we did to just to get partners and coaches and stuff. And every single time I would drive, like I wouldn't drive, my dad would, I'd be playing Pokemon. So like, it was like it meant a lot to me, you know? And then the lyrics of the song are obviously like, I want to be the very best, like no one ever was. So it's like the lyrics mean something because like, I do want to be the very best, you know? Plus it also reminded me of why I was there and what it took to get there, you know? So like, not only was it like funny that I ran out to the Pokemon theme song, but like it really had a larger meaning to it to me, you know? Like when I heard that song, it was like, this is why I'm here, you know? And I know that's like goofy to think, but like that's how I think, you know? Like that, like I don't know how many hours we drove. I mean, we drove, you know, two and a half hours one way, both ways, you know, 4 days a week for 8 years, maybe more, you know? Like, I mean, my dad ruined cars driving, you know, and he always bought me the new Pokemon game. I always beat it. You know, and I was just like, for me, like reminded you why you're there, you know? So
there's definitely something to it. Having a song, like you feel good and you get that good flow. I remember in the Flow documentary on Terry, where he said, when he heard in the 2000 trials, when he heard the Snowy River song, and he said, I knew it was my tournament.
Yeah. Yeah. No, there's definitely a, things like that can, you know, help you like get grounded. So
absolutely. So now what advice would you give to 8-year-olds or under? What could, like, just how to keep it fun? How to, I know it's so young, right? But you have these guys looking up to you, probably hear that. Well, what kind of things would you tell them mentally, emotionally, and then also like what kind of moves would you recommend starting kids with?
Well, it's funny. My dad always got, he was pretty cool when I was like younger. I'd always like be playing Pokemon in the stands or with my buddies or something. Then I'd be like, he'd be like, oh my gosh, you're about to be up. And you run out of the stands and go wrestle. And then you go back and I'd be playing Pokemon again. You know, like it was just like, it was always about being like, it's always about fun. You know, obviously that changed a little bit when, he started to notice that I was good at a very young age. You know, I was, you know, I mean, gosh, I don't even know how many times I lost from 8 years old to like 18, maybe like 15 times, you know, like I like never lost. And that's not like I'm not bragging or too. It was just like, it went from being like all fun to like, hey, this is like he could be good. You know, I remember like my dad telling my mom, like he told me, they told my mom that like, hey, we're gonna have a lot of wrestling in our life. Like, I think he could be legit, you know, like, because my dad was a national judo coach for like Olympic team, you know, he coached Olympic silvers and Olympic bronzes. He never coached Olympic champs, but because judo, men's judo's never had an Olympic champ, but he did coach a silver and some bronzes and a lot of Olympians, you know, he's seen what it takes at that level, you know. Even when I was younger, he could tell. My mom always made fun of him, like, oh, come on, Larry, like, he's so young, you don't know that. And like, my mom was also an Olympic judo athlete, you know, so she knew too, but like, she's always making fun of him just because like, she was less serious than he was. She was more like me, like the kind of like the freak athlete that like, you know, it was more about having fun. You know, my dad was like the typical, like not super good athlete, like for judo, but like just insanely hard worker, you know, just wanted it so bad. So they're kind of a cool combo, you know, for like coaching as parents. And so I knew that like, it's just like, it's different, you know, when you're, but like for me, like the advice would be like mostly about having fun. It's all about having fun, like especially like in a group of kids. Like the most fun times I remember was traveling to tournaments with like a bunch of kids, like in a long car ride, and we're all like on our DSs, like playing together, or like, you know, just like cheering on the guys, warming them up, like going out to eat after, just like those are memories like I'll never forget, you know. So like it was always like, you know, find like a support network of friends and to like do it together, because it's nice for your parents too, because they can have someone to support, someone could take them on rides, you know, like to tournaments and camps that like you can't with work, you know. So like to me, it was always like find a group of friends to like, you know, try and achieve your goals together and make sure it's fun. Make sure, you know, those, and then those are your friends for like almost for life, you know. And obviously like make sure it's fun, you know. Wrestling's all about fun, because I hate the word burnout, because you can't burn out if you love it, you know. If you just love it every single day, like how do you burn out? So like, and that's like something parents always say, like, how do we stop a kid from burnout? Like, make sure he loves it, you know? My dad always made me take a month off, like in August every year. I would be a month no wrestling. I used to get so mad because, like, after like 2 weeks, I'd just be freaking out. Like, he's like, no wrestling. Like, then I would come back and, like, I'd be better at wrestling, and people wouldn't believe my dad that I didn't wrestle for a month. Like, they'd be like, where'd he train? Like, where was he going? He hasn't done that at all. Like, my dad'd be like, he hasn't done anything. He's just been running, you know, just, you know, playing airsoft, you know, like just enjoying himself, you know. And, like, I think it's good to have breaks like that when you're younger, for sure. You don't want it to be like a job when they're younger. And I think some parents might be a little too extreme about that. It's still about having fun, you know. So
no, makes sense. If you're going to start a wrestler from the top, what are some of the things you might, like a neutral, a top and a bottom, to give them a solid foundation? Like, everyone wants like the tricks. What are the tricks? But it's not the tricks. It's like, how would you, what kind of techniques, or where would you start them? Neutral, top and bottom.
Well, I mean, I worked mostly top and bottom growing up because I knew that in high school and junior high that the coaches would be mostly working on neutral only. So, like, my main focus was top and bottom because, I mean, it's true. I was in high school, and even in the college rooms, you don't work on bottom or top nearly as much as you do neutral. That's because most of your career you're going to be neutral, you know. Like, obviously, the big difference between high school and college is usually top and bottom. Maybe less now than even when I was a freshman in college. The wrestlers are evolving so much in high school now. But for me, it was always top, bottom first, and then neutral. So maybe that's like some advice I'd give. I mean, I'm very basic. I mean, I just, like, I do anything like super funky or crazy, you know. Like, I've been hitting the same moves since I was like 9, 8 years old. I could literally pull up a match of me when I was 8, and you would see me hit like a fireman's into a tilt. Like I swear on my life, like that. Like, I remember showing some of my buddies about it. They didn't believe me. You know, I remember like showing like my like Tulsa finals like match, you know, and just, I go out there and I like snap the kid down, go behind and hit a roll under tilt, you know, and I'm like 9, you know. It's like, I haven't changed. I just like improve those positions a little bit every year. And, you know, you obviously get older and better. And, you know, so like, to me, it's like, find what your kid's good at and just make them the best at it, you know. And that's like, there's no like secret.
You know? Right. No, make sense. All right, changing gears a little. Talk about the influence of your coaches. I know we probably hit on this the last time we spoke, but talk about Jody Stripmatter. Talk about Brands Brothers and Morningstar and those guys over there.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think, like I said, finding a support network like that is super important. I mean, I got really lucky. I had great coaches my whole life. You know, I started out, like, you know, with Eric and Scotty Burnett in Ohio. And then I obviously, Jody was Young Guns. Those are the two clubs that I went to. Burnett trained and Young Guns. Those are two clubs that I grew up going to. And then obviously, you know, in college, Tom, Terry, Morningstar, Telford, you know, my coaches, just like the influence they have on you. So like, make sure you find someone that fits with you, that coaches you right. That was like a big thing for me. You know, Jody was awesome. Jody and John and Joey, they were all awesome when they were coaching me. In high school and junior high, they were always watching film and always trying to find positions that they think they could help me improve. And I think that was something that made them such a great coaching staff, you know, club coach, because it was never like going through the motions. Like, it was always like, we had to get better, had to do this, had to do that, you know. And that's like how it is at college too, you know, like, how can we get better every single day? And so, like, that's why I always like say finding the place that feels like family to you. You know, I've always felt like I was accepted, like, almost into these people's families, you know. And I think that's like, you know, very, very, like, you know, for them, like, it's like, it describes them as people. And I think that's pretty cool. You know, I was always like super impressed about the people, and I was very, very lucky to have the people that I had in my life growing up as coaches and as, you know, mentors and more even, you know, so.
Right. And I guess if feeling that over at Iowa, because I guess a lot of people, you know, a lot of people thinking you're in Pennsylvania, probably shoo-in to go to Penn State because they're killing it and everything. And then you went to Iowa, and a lot of people are like, oh, wow. I said, but yeah, but if you look at the Brands Brothers, their personality and just the feeling at Iowa, it's a special feeling. Not to say it's not special other places too, but mm-hmm. if that feels more like home for you, you'd go there.
Well, that's exactly what I mean. Like, you just got to find a place where you feel like it's the right place for you, you know, and that could be anywhere. It doesn't have to be at Penn State or Iowa, like the number one, two schools every year. It could be anywhere. And I think that's like very important, you know, because there's a lot of people that are successful at other places, you know, So you just got to find what's best for you and what makes you feel like you can be the best version of yourself. And like I always say, it's like finding a family is what I always tell people. That's what I call it. So
Makes sense. When I always feel like, hey, I mean, I wasn't at that level, but as far as wrestling, like, it would have been awesome to wrestle for the Brands Brothers. I mean, I wrestled over at UPenn, but I'm thinking about watching those guys, and like it just really seems like they believe in each of their athletes. And I know a lot of coaches say that, but it just seems like they are really in their guy's corner, and they really believe they can win. Like not all American win, like national champion win. Every guy,
absolutely, yeah, no, they're extremely extremely loyal to that. They like live and die by the athletes, so it's pretty cool.
That's awesome. Now, another question about just mentally bouncing back from injuries. That a lot of kids deal with that. A lot of athletes deal with it, and for a lot of people, an injury will break them mentally and emotionally, and other guys will bounce back and be even better than before. How do you do that?
Well, it was always just one day at a time for me. Like, like when you get hurt, like. Yeah, it might feel like the world's ending, but like for me, like I got hurt a lot. So like I was very used to like the feeling of like, all right, like how can I get better? Like what's the next thing? You know, how can I, what's the fastest route for me to get back on the mat? And that was like every single time. So like it was like one day at a time, whether it's like talking to the doctors, whether it was surgery, whether it was not having surgery, whether it was taking 6 months and just rehabbing, you know, whatever the, you know, the recipe that we had created for success was. You know, and that was like, you know, for me, it was just one day at a time, next best thing, next day, next thing, next thing, you know, just not thinking about anything else but that, you know, because I mean, all you're going to do is stress yourself out and make yourself frustrated if you don't think that way, you know. You're not going to be able to get back on the mat faster if you're just stressing and struggling to try and get back, you know. You might as well put all your all into it.
So. Right. If you're looking like why me or why does this happen or you know what other people are healthy, it just throws you off completely. If you're just focusing on, hey, how can I get better? How can I even improve while I'm hurt? Like you were saying, that changes everything.
Yeah. I wrote like a blog post for Rudis, and the big thing I said was instead of why me, why not me? You know, and the reason I said that was because I remember. When I won my third national title and I had both my ACLs torn, I remember like telling Tom, like, I'm glad it's me and not any of my other teammates. And he kind of like laughs and was like, why do you even say that? And I was like, cause I can do it. I'm not saying they can't, but like, I know I can do it. And I don't want anyone else to do like to go through what I'm going through. Like it's better. Like for me, it was like, it's better off being me than anyone else, you know, just because not because I didn't believe that anyone else could do it. I'm not believing in my teammates, but like I said, like I knew I could do it, and like I'd rather be the one that had to do it hurt than anyone else. So that makes sense. Like, why not me?
No, absolutely. So, that's it. Yeah. That's the mindset of a champion. That was gonna be the last question I asked about. Talk about your sponsor. Well, about your sponsors, Rudis, and how they. Yeah. Like you said, you wrote that article for them.
Yeah.
We'll have to throw that link in the show notes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, it's good. It's just like a short little brief of like, you know, going through like tough times, and like instead of being like down on yourself, you can like, you know what, this is a battle that I can win. And that's why it was given to me, you know.
Absolutely. Oh, that's awesome, Spencer. Thank you very much for everything. Hey, when's the next time you're competing?
We'll see. Maybe the Open. We'll see. If not, I don't know when. So,
all right. Awesome, Spencer. Great stuff. Thanks for everything. Appreciate it. A lot of golden nuggets of information that I hope our viewers are watching and not just looking. And this is something Don Ernst taught me also. He said, don't just watch the champions and say, wow, great, Spencer Lee, great. No, listen to what he's saying. Listen to these little bits of information because it could go a long way. It's awesome. That's the mindset of a champion. So thanks a lot, Spencer. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely. If the great Don Ernst said it, that means you should listen.
That's right. He forced me to listen. He'd hit me.
I love Don. He was awesome.
Oh, yeah. All right. Thanks, Spencer.
Yep, take no care. Problem. You too. See ya.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.